Well, it is good to be back and to have an opportunity to open up God's Word with all of you this morning. And I always love seeing how God works in preparing for these messages, because I'll be honest, I didn't realize that the children's sermon was going to tie so well with what we're talking about today, spending time with God and how that influences our life and our faith. But before we begin, would you guys bow your heads and pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I again thank you for this place and this opportunity to come and worship you in song and in truth and by opening up your word, Lord. I pray that you would bless our time in your word and that you would give me the words to speak that would be, through your Holy Spirit, honoring and glorifying to you, Lord. And that we would learn more how to abide and to be your children and disciples. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So this past year, I had the opportunity to walk through a similar series, actually, called Connected or Connecting with the youth group. And we based it all on technology, which, if you ask me, was probably one of my favorite series just because of the conversations that we got to have. From the conversations that the youth were having and how they viewed technology different from each other, and even my views compared to what some of they were, or they had. Because this word connecting, or to connect with something online, has been around a while, and it's something that we all do with whether the apps or the technology that allows us to talk with somebody just down the street or across the world in a matter of seconds. But I find that it's getting a little bit more distracting. Even my time online, I've seen increasingly filled with advertisements or things that even pull me away from what I was trying to do originally. And don't get me wrong, I understand why they're there and why they're necessary to be there and the economy in that. But I think we all know that this digital world is here to stay. But I think the problem is that it can kind of bring us back to being like a kid in a candy store. Because all of these things are so enticing because they're engineered to be that way. And that's a little bit what I want to talk about today. And it's not just technology. It's kind of an easy thing to pick on when we're talking about being connected to something. But it really happens with everything in life. Because God has given us a good world filled with many good things. And it's happened where we can be distracted with hobbies, with work, with people in our life that can pull us away from what's ultimately important. But God has designed our world to be connected to Him. And frankly, I see our world has been pulled away to search for what it's connected to, and they just keep searching for that. And even in society, the successful people who would be deemed successful keep searching for that true source of what they need to be connected to. But what I find in nature is that unless we're connected to what's true and what's right, it just doesn't work. And I find this in just the flowers. Once you pick a flower, it might last for a couple of days on your counter in a glass of water, but it withers and dies. Just like a tree, when it's cut from its trunk, that branch or that tree will no longer grow, no matter how much I would like that board to stretch a couple inches from time now and again. But these things, once they're severed, they just don't come back. And so it shows me our need to be connected to Christ and the true vine. Otherwise, as we see all around the world, things wither and die. But not just that we see our need to be connected, but I find that it's something that Christ has commanded us to be, is connected with Him. In not so many words, but that's what I want to look at today, because otherwise the world and our flesh draws us away. It demands our attention and can distract our souls from what we need to be connected to and abide in. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 15 again, the passage that Kevin read, starting in verse 4, Jesus reads to his, or tells his disciples, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And I'll be up front. I feel like we could stop with just these verses, but I've got something else that I would like to unpack here. But I say that only because I feel like with what we've just read, there's enough here for me to end our time together and say, let's go do this. Let's abide and bear fruit for God. But we have more here to say this morning. And that's why I love these passages, because they have so much for us. And again, this is what Jesus was telling his disciples, but he's also telling us, his children and his current disciples and followers, that we need to connect and abide in him. And if you would look at Webster's dictionary, that word abide, because I don't feel like we use it very often today, would be to dwell, to stay with. Some Bible translations use the word remain in, which helps us understand. But I also think that there's a little bit more to that. That abiding is a command to continue to trust and believe in Christ and his gospel. It's not this static thing that we do, but I find that it's more of trying to stand your ground when something is trying to pull you away, whether that be our adversary, the world, or our flesh, where we know what we need to stay connected to. In this verse, in these passages that we're going to look at this morning, I find help us and call us to drink from the depthless goodness of God. And that's what I want us to keep in mind as we go further. And I know for many of you, this is probably a passage that you've read many times before, and it's one that we can cling to, and I think that we should. So then I just ask us, how are we doing in abiding? Because it's something that we continue to grow in. But I love word pictures, and this one that Jesus gave here has been filling my mind these past couple of weeks, because we don't farm many vines, at least I never have. So this is kind of the best picture that I could kind of think of. You see the vine, that big thing on the bottom, not what our eye is generally drawn to, but it's much larger and supportive than those little orange and brown branches that come from it, the things that bear fruit. And I think that it's helpful for us to see that and the difference there, because Jesus hasn't called us to be the vine, but to be a good branch. And I'd like to take a couple minutes to explore what that is like. And the first thing is that we cannot abide without being connected. And we're going to look at that a little bit more, but you can't be a branch that's going to live and thrive without being connected to the vine, without having a relationship with Christ. That is our first and foremost need if we want to be a good branch. But I think the real problem that many of us have, or people have in the world even, is we don't like to accept that we're a branch. We are fed time and time again that we can be a vine, something that is self-supporting. If we can gather enough finances or resources or build ourselves up, that we can be self-sustaining. And that's just not true. And I think part of the reason, that's why when people are trying to connect to these things today to be a self-supporting vine, they just wither with depression and despair, because they find that it can't give the life that their soul needs. And truly, these are problems that have been around since sin has entered the earth. If we look at the Old Testament, we see time and time again of people thinking that they can find something to fill their need or can do it themselves. But that's just not how the way God has ordered the world. And that's the horror that I think of when we try to be a vine, when we are called to be a branch, being something that we cannot be. But the promise here is that our abiding calls us to change and grow. Because That's what a good branch does, right? It's not, we would be very disappointed if the seeds that we planted would stop just as a sprout, right? A branch is supposed to produce fruit. And that's found through Christ. But one thing I want us to see again is God has given us a very amazing promise, even in verse 4, where he calls us to abide, yes, but he has promised to abide in us. This isn't something that he has just left us to by our own to figure out, but has promised to be with us and in us through it, which is something that I hope that we can hang on to and fuels us to growing more so. Because abiding and being a good branch also means growing with God and in his word. It's another reminder that to know God, we need to be in his word, learning and growing in him. And sometimes I think we get worried about being a good branch and what that looks like. But I think it's something that God has told us time and time again in his word, is that we bear fruit by doing what God wants us to do. It's not a mystical path that he's called us to tread, but just to follow him, to be his disciples. And I thank God for the examples that we've been given in the New Testament about men who followed him, not perfectly, but well. This abiding that we've been called to, it's really for our good, because it's not based on what we bring to the table or what we pull ourselves up with. This analogy of the branch, I think, helps us a lot, because we see God's, in a branch, we see the sap that the vine gives to the branch to grow and to do what it's called to do. And the same is true in us, as God works in us and through us, through the gospel and his Holy Spirit. So, knowing what a branch is to do, I think we have to make sure that we're attached to the true vine as well. Because in growing in fruitfulness, we have to be connected to the right thing. As Jesus has told us in the passage, we can do nothing unless we abide or are connected to him. So I want to take a step back and look at what we were before that happened, because I think it helps us be fruitful in our new life of faith. And frankly, we didn't do much before God's work in us. There was no fruit, there was no growth, because Ephesians 2:5 tells us we were spiritually dead before Christ's work of the gospel. Before we came to recognize Christ's life, death, resurrection, and victory over sin and death, we had no life. We were producing nothing of worth. But then came Jesus. And this is something in nature that has always astounded me, the practice of grafting in branches, how you can take something from one plant that might not be doing so well and attach it to another to watch it grow and thrive. But God did so much more than that in our spiritual lives, as we find as he's given us growth and how we are to be fruitful, because he's grafted us in to God's family in faith. If we look at Romans 11, it says, "But if some of the branches were broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, were grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing root of the olive tree," Paul is talking about grafting here. And he was referring to the Jews and the Gentiles, but it's no different for us today. Like I said, if we were not connected with God, we were not connecting with any good fruit. And what I need us to see here is God has not spared any expense for us in helping us grow. He has not withheld himself or his son to give us life as he's grafted us in, as we said, through the gospel. It's clear that he doesn't want us to wander away or go our own way as he's grafted us in to himself, so that we can have everything we need to be his children. We connect to the vine to grow and to change. And that means we are no longer the same because of who we are connected to. It can't stand. We sang about and talked about this morning how God is holy. Our unholiness has to be dealt with for us to be connected with Him. And that happens only through the gospel. That's the only way that we have a relationship with Him. But that doesn't mean that we stay there. So if you would turn with me just to the next chapter, and Paul continues this about growing and being transformed through Christ's work in us. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, one that I find myself constantly going back to, it reads, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." I think a lot of our growth happens in this. It's a great promise for us, or at least for me, that we are transformed, that God does not want us to stay the same. But as we talked about in the first part of this, that means that we're the branch. I think verse 1 in Romans 12 here helps us see that as a living sacrifice, we follow what God wants us to do. Jesus has given us the example being our ultimate sacrifice, but we are called to live for what God wants us to be doing as we abide. And in doing that, it says that we are transformed, which means our world is trying to mold us and press us into something that will lead us down a different path. But God, in His provision, has made a way to renew us. And it says here that it starts with our mind as we read God's word, which is a very logical way to see this playing out. But it doesn't stop there, because it changes our hearts, as even promised in Ezekiel, so that our desires changed. And I don't see how much more we can be transformed than when we start wanting to do the thing that God wants us to do, just as the same thing happens when we abide in Him. When all of this happens, if we would overlay Romans, what we looked at, and then John 15, we see how we start growing in fruit by knowing what is good and acceptable and perfect. God's will, as it says in just a couple words before. And I think really that's how abiding changes us, is to start to know what God wants us to do and to desire to do them. Because how could it not, if we are nourished by Christ and His gospel, to do those things? It's what our soul is feeding on, so it makes sense that that is what we would want to do. But our abiding changes us. This transformation that we just talked about is something that is going on day to day in our times with God. And really, the fancy theological term for this is our sanctification, the being made more and more like Christ Jesus, being made to who God wants us to be. Which kind of means that our abiding, we might not get to 100% this side of heaven, but I think it's such a worthwhile pursuit and so nourishing and enriching for our soul that we have to try. And I'm excited to tell us why it is in just a moment. But first I have to explain this thing of pruning that was talked about in verse 2, because while it might seem like this transforming part is a really good and might be an easy thing, I think many of us know that pruning is often difficult and sometimes even hard to withstand. And this pruning, this clipping off the things that are holding us back or taking away, it can hurt, but it's for our good. As any gardener or person with fruit trees or even vines knows, that sometimes you have to take the branches away to produce a better crop and for the health of the plant. And so God does with us. He works in our lives and in our circumstances to remove the things that will pull us or distract us from Him in our abiding with Him. And this pruning isn't just to take things away for just mere minimalism or so that we have less than others to show our great faith. No, it is for our good. And that's this last point that I want to look at with you this morning, is why God goes through so much to help us transform and why we can trust him and see all of this as good. So if you would turn back to me to our first passage in John 15 to verse 9, we'll start there. And it reads, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be full in you and that your joy may be full." This full of love and joy. I would just ask that sometime today we pause and see how we are doing in abiding in that. Because as we see in verse 9, we are called loved as Christ was loved by the Father. That is an astounding truth and an astounding love for our soul. Something that I think we can abide in, to dwell in God's love for us. But it might read, as you'd continue on, that this is a contractual love, that it only happens if we fulfill his commandments as Jesus did. But I think we know that that's not how the gospel works. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows that we aren't perfectly going to follow him. So he offers us mercy and transforms us to be more and more like that. All he calls us to do is follow, abide, and obey to the best of our abilities. And more so, he takes joy in us. Is that something that you wake up and think on a Lord's Day? Is that God is filled with joy over his relationship with us coming here? Because I really hope it is. This last part in verse 11, "that my joy may be full in you and that your joy may be full," is, I think, one of our greatest points as a believer. And we do this because we commit and abide fully to God, because no one can serve two masters. And I hope that you've gotten just a glimpse from this morning that connecting with anything else is not a good use of our time. It's not something that's going to fill our souls. And to be full of God's love is something that he's freely given us. But this "for our joy" helps me endure any pruning that God wants to do in my life. Not just because it feels good, but because I know that it helps bear fruit. And God has graciously made a faith for us, connected to him, that is genuinely for our joy. I find that Paul knew this in saying that his contentment, his joy, wasn't just found in circumstance, but the one that he was connected to. So, when we abide, when we spend time with Christ, I hope that you can be filled with love and joy from God and his gospel. And yes, I know that there are days that we all come to God knowing that we feel like we might not be bearing any fruit at all. But he still has love for us. He still is transforming, working in us, sanctifying us to be a good branch and to follow him, no matter what we produce, because he's called us to abide. And lastly, part of the real reason why I think he does this is when we abide and are filled with love and joy, we can go show the world. We really abide to show the world the gospel. Because I think as Christians, it's something that the world needs, is to have more love and joy in it. I find that we can really, sometimes it's easy to beat down by the world or to beat it down. But again, as we said this morning, that God has given us a good world that he wants to know and love him more and more. How attractive is the picture of a God that loves you and works for your joy. That's the gospel. That's what he wants us to go and make disciples in, is his gospel. But this brings us back to the vine that this is all supported by, and it calls us to abide. So let us be connected to the one who cares for us, that tenderly prunes the things that we need to be taken away, fills us with love and joy for the good of our soul, and let us grow to be transformed and to bear good fruit. To be his disciples is what he's calling us to be. To make his name known, to love those he loves to the ends of the earth. And let us do so to be filled with love and joy. It's good for us and for our souls. And I think that's where it starts in all of our connections around us. We see the change when we are a well-watered branch filled with the Holy Spirit and the truth of the gospel. So my final thoughts this morning are, abiding is the start and the culmination of our faith. It is something that we need to begin, but we never outgrow, because we always want to be connected to Christ, and we will be through his work in the gospel. Abiding is how we learn to know Christ and how we stay connected to him as he abides with us and knows us. It is an action, but also a response to what has been done for us on our behalf. It is the source of our growth and the blessing of our faith. So let us abide in Christ, he in us, and let us stay connected to him as we grow in our faith, bearing fruit through and in his name. And I wanted to pause in the middle of the summer fun and busyness, as we are kind of starting to stare down the fall and the startup of ministries, as a reminder to abide, to be mindful of who we are connected to and how we can live for his honor and glory and with love and joy for us, because it sounds like a blessing to me. Would you pray with me as we close this morning? Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to abide with you, and that you've promised to abide in us. God, I thank you for your gospel that makes this possible, for the work that you've done on our behalf through your Son, Jesus. God, I pray that you would help us to abide more and more each day, that we would bear fruit for you, and that we would reap the fruit in our life as well. God, that you would fill us with your love and joy, so that we can be good disciples and spread that in this wonderful world that you've given us. God, I thank you again for your love and your promises. Would you help us to go this day in your name? And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And before I close, I'd like to read the benediction from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. Would you stand? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and with the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.